Alright folks, this is Ramble Rouse and Rich Bergeron flying solo this week. We had a little technical difficulty situation with the guys, so Tom and Tony did their own little show. They didn't even realize they were on air until about 90% into it, but it was a good job. And they talked up the boxing, so we're going to cover mostly mixed martial arts in this one, although they did miss Juan Manuel Marquez retiring. They talked about Vladimir Klitschko retiring, which is a big deal, obviously. Everybody was anticipating the Anthony Joshua rematch, see what Klitschko would do differently, but Klitschko apparently decided he was going to call it quits, and so has Juan Manuel Marquez. And of course, both guys have really distinguished careers, world championship careers, lots and lots and lots of fights. Highlights and stuff to be proud of. So just wish them both luck in retirement, and would have liked to see in that big rematch, but Klitschko apparently just doesn't see any value in continuing, so we're not going to get the chance. But Juan Manuel Marquez says injuries forcing him to retire from boxing, and he announced his retirement yesterday, just shy, a month shy of his 44th birthday, and his career began back in May of 1993. Probably be a first ballot Hall of Famer, as will Klitschko. Marquez held belts in four weight classes, rated among the top 10 pound-for-pound fighters for many years. His last professional fight was 2014. And he fought only 10 times in Mexico, 53 times in the United States, and once in Indonesia. Held titles as a featherweight, super featherweight, lightweight, and super lightweight. And his first world championship came at age of 30. He had 18 world title fights. Pretty impressive career. Fought pretty big names, guys like Pacquiao, Manny Pacquiao, Manuel Medina, Orlando Salida, Chris John, Joel Casamayor, Juan Diaz, Floyd Mayweather, Timothy Bradley, and had four memorable fights with Pacquiao, winning one and losing two, but getting a draw on the other one. And his brother Rafael and him were one of the few Mexican sibling duos to be world champions. Final record 56-7-1 with 40 knockouts. So pretty good stuff there. And of course the big weekend event in mixed martial arts was UFC 214. Although the Professional Fighters League tried to do an event on the same night, I barely caught the tail end of it on the repeat on free TV there. But John Jones versus Daniel Cormier was getting good. Daniel was trying to come back, landing a lot of punches, getting a lot of angst and frustration out on Jones, connecting a lot with his chin and making things interesting. And then John Jones turned up the heat. Head kick started it, and punches ended it, and Cormier was just out. So it was a bad loss for him. He was pretty devastated. Not much to do from there with John Jones at the top of the division again, and really that's the only fight he wants to win. So he's got two cracks at him, can't beat him. So who knows what Daniel's going to do, but obviously he's probably going to fight out his contract and see what happens next. But then we had Tyron Woodley in what a lot of critics would say was a shitty fight against Demian Maia. Woodley won by unanimous decision, kind of cruised to victory, but basically that's what he had to do to win. And he got into a rocky argument with Dana White over Dana White's criticism of the action, saying Dana saying that he should have taken him out earlier and could have had the chance in the first few rounds and didn't take him out. But Demian Maia, although he's not very great at striking, he's a very tough dude. He has a tough chin, and he was constantly trying to get the takedown so he could bring Tyron down to the ground to fight where his strengths are. And Tyron just had to basically keep him off and make sure that it didn't get to the point where he was in trouble. And he never really was in trouble. I mean, he did get clocked a couple times, but Demian Maia is not known for his great striking. Someone who is, Christian Justino, took 3 rounds to take out Tanya Evinger, who was just all heart out there, and unbelievable chin on her, too. She went down by TKO in the 3rd round, 1 minute and 56 into that. And then barn burner, Robbie Lawler versus Donald Cerrone. Robbie got a big win in that one, won 2 out of the 3 rounds. And Cerrone came alive in the second a little bit, but just didn't have the skill set and the thrill to be back in it that Robbie Lawler obviously had going into this one. Just absolutely on a different level. And he dedicated his win to Matt Hughes, who's still fighting from to recover from his injuries from a train, hit by a train on the train tracks in his vehicle. So Robbie gave a shout out to him after the fight. And we had Volkan Ozdemir pulling up one of the biggest upsets of the night over Jimmy Manua. First round knockout, just 42 seconds into that one. Volkan just connected just right with the chin and brought it home from there. Another guy got a first round knockout, Ricardo Lamas over Jason Knight. 4 minutes 34 seconds into that one. That was also from some punching combinations. Aljamain Sterling beat Hanan Barao by unanimous decision for that. Brian Ortega beat Renato Carneiro by guillotine choke, 2 minutes and 59 seconds into the 3rd round. And a hometown guy from my area that I've talked to a couple times actually through email, Calvin Kattar, put in a masterful performance against Andre Feely and won that one by unanimous decision. Looked good doing it. So we're looking forward to seeing him get more opportunities with the UFC. I believe this was on just a couple weeks' notice, so he was one of the stars of the night with Volkan for pulling off that big upset. And we had Alexandra Albu beating Kaylin Curran. Unanimous decision there. Jared Brooks beat Eric Shelton by unanimous decision in the 2nd fight of the night. And get to the first fight here in a second. Drew Dober beat Joshua Berkman by knockout the very first round. 3 minutes and 4 seconds into that one. An interesting story came out before the John Jones versus Daniel Cormier battle there. By the way, too, the post-fight speech by Jones was pretty humbling. Gave a great shout-out to Daniel and a lot of credit to him, and obviously showed that their whole rivalry is just talk and selling the fight. But he does obviously respect him and gave him some credit for some of the big shots that he landed on him. But this story here is about John Jones and Dana White. It wasn't too long ago, but about a year ago, a little over a year ago, John Jones was supposed to headline a big event and backed out of it, of course. UFC 200. And then he had his rematch with Cormier fall through when he was flagged for a potential violation just days before that event. And then he went on to receive a 1-year suspension for the use of a tainted sex pill. And he had a rocky relationship with Dana White over that point, and it's just gotten worse. And he said, "I feel like he's shown me his true colors, and now I have no desire to pretend like he cares about me or that we're friends," Jones said. So basically, this has been going on for a while. In 2012, White famously condemned Jones and his head coach, Greg Jackson, for refusing to accept a short notice title bout with Chael Sonnen. This was back at UFC 151. And that was when Dan Henderson suffered an injury 8 days out from fight night. And then that became the first show in UFC history to be canceled. White, of course, blamed that entirely on Jones and his camp. And then, of course, White, in temper tantrum fashion that he's good at, he handled the UFC 200 debacle in the same fashion, vowing that Jones wouldn't be trusted to main event again, a promise that was obviously rescinded with the booking of UFC 214. And White obviously has been trying to mend fences with Jones now, but the former champion has not been receptive and probably won't be much more receptive after this fight. He'll probably be more empowered to be angry at White. but this is becoming a trend. I mean, we just went through the list of the results of UFC 214, and you consider there's three title fights there and at the top of the bill. There's the female title fight, Cyborg, and the two big heavyweight, light heavyweight, and welterweight, I believe, there. So, there's three titleists there that are pissed at Dana White or have a rocky relationship with Dana White. You have to wonder how long this guy is going to be hanging around. And we talked, actually, believe it or not, oh, look it up, it's a great interview, Dana White's mother, talking about her book that she wrote and the kind of lengths Dana went to stop that and alienate her after she wrote it. Just tells you a lot about his character. And of course, the book itself, if you get it, linked to our website, fightnewsunlimited.com, just reveals a lot about Dana's character growing up and all that. But she told us, actually, at the time that this was before Conor McGregor really, 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 really blew up, but they were going on a big press deal across the world, and they went to London, him and Conor, Dana White and Conor, and apparently Dana White got up on stage and said something about Ireland that wasn't true, and Conor corrected him really rudely and made him look stupid. And Dana White's mom said that they had a rocky relationship ever since, those two. So now they're trying to build the biggest crossover event in combat sports history, and your guy doesn't even like you. So it's gonna be interesting to see how this goes and how the folks at the management group deal with this, because you have to at some point wonder how is this guy going to continue to manage the UFC in good faith when all these guys have major issues with him and champions. So let's keep an eye on that and see where that goes. But can you imagine Roger Goodell having these kind of rocky relationships with all the quarterbacks in the league? You know, it'd be unheard of in the NFL. They wouldn't allow him to stay on board, or all the ownerships, you know. He had five owners that were pissed at him all the time and could never get along with him. through no fault of their own. He just didn't like them and just continued to rip them in the press. I don't know how you would deal with that. I think the NFL would get rid of him. But Dana White is kind of grandfathered in, so to speak, or uncled in. Uncle Dana. And speaking of another guy who's pissed off at Dana White, Chuck Liddell. Not coming back to the UFC, it looks like, if he is coming back. Chael Sonnen is saying that Chuck will be his next fight. Chael Sonnen has predicted a return to mixed martial arts for Chuck Liddell, telling Flow Combat's Dwayne Finley that he expects to fight Liddell in his next Bellator bout. He says that he thinks that's what's going to happen. Now, Liddell hasn't fought since 2010, losing to Rich Franklin at UFC 115. It was his third straight defeat and fifth loss in six fights. 47-year-old Chuck Liddell. He said John Hackelman, his trainer, said he could potentially return to the MMA for the right matchup back in May. But we'll see. I mean, he needs the money and everything. He said that publicly. But Bellator is the perfect place for him, and I believe the only better opponents for him would be Wanderlei Silva rematch, or couldn't say Ken Shamrock, because I think Ken Shamrock's completely done. But Royce Gracie, why not? Royce still wants to fight, I bet, and he needs the money too. So why not? I think that would be a bowl over, but you know, a couple of guys fighting each other wouldn't be bad. Maybe that'd be the second fight, but we know. You know, he's got to have a contract. So we'll see. Anyway, last big event I want to talk about here is tonight's fight from Mexico City, Mexico. Unreal. big fight, Sergio Pettis versus Brandon Moreno in the main event. Sergio is 15-2, Moreno is 14-3. And this is just a great fight all around. Sergio actually was somebody I interviewed years ago, back before his very first fight with the UFC. And I believe it's on Blog Talk Radio if anybody wants to look it up. But it was a great interview. Didn't want him following the shadow of his brother. He wanted to kind of carve his own path. And now he is main eventing here on a fight night 114 in Mexico City tonight. Co-main event there is Alexa Grasso, 9-1, fighting Arenda Marcos, 7-4. She always comes to fight. She's got a very unique style, and she's been keeping busy since The Ultimate Fighter, the episode or the season that made her famous. Then we got Alan Gibbon, 15-5, fighting Nico Price, who's 10-0. Martin Bravo, 11-0, fighting Humberto Bandone, who's 13-4. And we got former guest of ours, Sam Alvey, 30-9, fighting Rashad Evans, who's 19-6. Smiling Sam has talked to us a couple times, I believe. Good interviews. Alejandro Perez fighting Andre Sukhamthath. Alejandro is 17-6-1. Sukhamthath is 11-4. We also have Jack Hermanson, 15-3, fighting Bradley Scott, who's 11-4. Dustin Ortiz, 16-7, fighting Hector Sandoval, who's 14-3. A guy from back in the WEC days, Ronnie Yaya, he's 23-9, fighting Enrique Briones, who is 16-6-1. We got Jose Alberto Quinones, 5-2, fighting Diego Rivas, who's 7-0. Joseph Morales, 8-0, fighting Roberto Sanchez, who's 7-0. And in first fight of the night, Jordan Rinaldi, 12-5, fighting Alvaro Herrera, who's 9-0. So good stuff all around, and should be a great fight night down there in Mexico. And that's about it for us. And we've also got, as I mentioned, Tony and Tom with the good stuff out there on boxing. They talked a lot about the Broner versus Garcia fight, which I did not get a chance to watch, and Klitschko's retirement. A little bit about Conor McGregor versus Floyd Mayweather, and the retirement of Paulie Malignaggi from the training camp. He has quit frustration, called it a circus, so not surprised there. But so they talk about that in their portion of this week's episode, and this is mine, so. Basically, I guess we call it split personality this week. We had technical difficulties and a two-part show, but hope you enjoy it. Thanks for stopping by.